Okay, I think one of the important takeaways from last week's parsha is the power or the value of one. Very often in life, we measure success by numbers. How many people come to a shir? How many people come to a shul? How many people are in a school? It's always about numbers. And even on the contrary, Nebuchadnezzar, when there's a tragedy, the first question is, how many people die? Oh, there's only one person. What do you mean? One person is one too many. Every life matters. We live in a world where we often measure things by numbers. Success for sure is measured by numbers. You know, how many guys are in the yeshiva? How many, how much money do you have? Everything is measured by numbers. But in the last week's parasha, the Torah reminds us the importance of individuality. Where do we find that? The Torah tells us that the whole parasha of Egla Rufa was because one person died. One person died. One person had an unsolved mystery. No one knows how he died. It's just one person. It wasn't a casualty. It wasn't an entire city. It was one person. No name person. No background. No, fame. Who dies, and the whole city has to go all crazy over it, and we have to do tshuva vekapara because of the one person. That's really, the Torah is reminding us that one life is essential. Ask any Atzala member. Right? You never hear Atzala call, it's only one person dying, so take your time. No, they run like crazy for one person. Now they don't like to hear when there's multiple patients. It's much more difficult. But they run like nuts for one person. And, we're not talking about to save an entire city. So the Torah reminds us the importance of one. But then in the Torah we find even more than that. Not only is one person important, but one person can change the entire environment. Where do we find that? When the Torah goes to who can go to war, the Torah says, well, all those people that are not cut out for war, let them go back home. Why? V'lo yimas slavavachov. They shouldn't corrupt, or they shouldn't affect the other fellow soldiers. Because one guy is not in the mood of being here, one guy would rather be home, one guy is all depressed, anxiety, doesn't want to be at the war, we send him home. Why? Because he's going to affect those around him. Because one person has the ability to affect those around him. You see what I mean? There's hundreds of soldiers in this unit. One guy, one rotten apple, yes, yeah, one rotten apple can ruin it for everyone. So I think throughout this parasha we see a very important yesod about the power of one person. Lehepoch, letoiv, and lera. When one person does something good, many people copy. One guy comes early to davening, one guy stays late after davening, one guy learns more, one guy gives more tzedakah, people see. So if one guy can cause the entire army to go, to be negatively affected, so one person can definitely have a positive effect on a group. But I think very often in life we always think of things as greater sums. Like overall I'm a good guy. Like 9 out of 10 people like me, I'm good. The one guy I don't like, okay, bottle bereif. But I think the Torah is reminding us that every single person has to be thought about. Every single life matters, and every individual matters.
Yeah, we heard yesterday from Schachter. We also talked about that concept yesterday, and he said something which you never thought about. He goes, one guy got put a bomb in his shoe.
And from now on,
and ever since then, millions and millions and millions and millions of people all over the world had their lives.
It's like a valid point.
Literally changed the whole world. One guy did this.
We have an amazing ability to change in a good way. If one guy could do it negatively, culture came positively. But I came across an amazing story with Mrs. Zalman Meltzer. Mrs. Zalman Meltzer was a famed Rav and Rosh Yeshiva. He was originally in Slobodka. He was asked to start a break off yeshiva in Slutsk. He was asked conveniently by the altar to get him out of the way. A whole story, not for now. But he started a very famous yeshiva in Slutsk. He was promised he's going to have support from the locals. That support fell through. He had to support the yeshiva himself, and he started his own yeshiva, for the most part, funded all by himself. Ultimately, he took a very famous son-in-law. We know where Baron Cutler was his son-in-law. There's a great story. We'll just say it very quickly. When he asked the altar to send me the best, every father wants the best for his daughter. So the altar sent him to Baron Cutler. During the engagement, Baron Cutler was sending love notes, supposedly, to Mrs. Zalman's daughter. Now, let's just define what those love notes meant. I don't know exactly what was in them. One of the things he wrote in those notes were things like suggested reading. Different Russian poets that Baron suggested his future wife read during their engagement. And Mrs. Zalman fell down about it, and he went to the altar. He said, what did you send me over here? I asked you to send me the best. This is one of the stories that's in the making of a Gadol that got that book banned. Right? That's one of the stories. Is this story? Mrs. Zalman, Baron Cutler was sending love notes to his Kala, this, that, and the other. So many of them said, yeah, that's such a crazy thing, right? You'd like to believe the woman he's going to marry, he's going to like, so it's not so crazy. But in any case, when they asked the altar, how can you send me such a bacha like this? He's so not from. He said, don't worry, the world is going to tzitta from his frumkeit one day. And that, obviously, we know Rabbi Cutler became Rabbi Cutler, and he was quite a frum Jew. I don't think we have anyone who can doubt Rabbi's frumkeit. So Rabbi Cutler ended up being a son-in-law by Rabbi Zalman. When Rabbi Zalman moved to Eretz Yisrael, so he had three nephews at the time that were all Rosh Yeshiva and the Chevron Yeshiva, Moshe Chevroni, Reb Aaron HaKoyen, and Reb Chatzkel Sarma, three famed nephews that were all Rosh Yeshivas. One day, this was during the British mandate, so there was a curfew that you weren't allowed to leave your house between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. So like 2 a.m. in the morning, Moshe Chevroni gets a knock on the door. He's all nervous, who's coming to see him at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's illegal to travel. And Rabbi Zalman standing at the door. So Rabbi Zalman says, I had a Shver Rambam, I knew who else can I talk to at 2 o'clock in the morning, I knew my nephew, Moshe Chevroni, you're up, let's talk about the Shver Rambam. Okay, so he tells him Pshat, and the Shver, Moshe Chevroni tells Rabbi Zalman Pshat, and Rabbi Zalman's getting ready to go back. Moshe Chevroni says, it's late already, might as well just stay here, it's dangerous, he might get arrested. He says, no, I got to get back, I got to record this, I got to write this down, Torah, 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 and he runs out of the room. So everyone thought, when the story ended, they thought, oh, look at the godless of Mrs. Al-Meltzer, he's willing to risk his life at 2 o'clock in the morning to go hear Torah, what an amazing story. When Rabbi Zalman was nifta, his Rebbetzin told him the full story. The real story that was that day, Rabbi Zalman just found out from the printer that he can print finally his Sefer Evin HaOzel. Rabbi Zalman wrote a classical Sefer on the Rambam, it's learned in all the yeshivas, called the Evin HaOzel, Rabbi Zalman Sefer. The printer told him that today you got to get me the manuscripts because we're going to print it today. If you don't give it to me today, you have to wait 5 years to print it. But Mrs. Ahmed said, I have a problem. I have three Chosheva nephews that are Rosh Yeshiva. Two out of three have Chedushei Torah recorded in my Sefer. I quote them throughout the Sefer. I have nothing recorded for Moshe Chevroni. How can I print the Sefer without a Chedush for my nephew Moshe Chevroni? So he ran to Moshe Chevroni's house, asked him a Pshat. Then he came home and he erased the Pshat that he already wrote in his Sefer. He had a Pshat in the Rambam. Mrs. Ahmed knows how to learn. He had his own Pshat. He erased it, put in Moshe Chevroni's Pshat. And then he was able to send the Sefer to the printer to be printed. This way he felt comfortable. So the godless of the story is, you think Rabbi Moshe Chevroni would have been insulted? Moshe Chevroni was Rosh Shiva. He'd be insulted that his uncle put in, the other two nephews didn't put him in. Mrs. Zalman said, I'm willing to wait another 5 years to print my Sefer if it's going to cause one person to be slighted. That's the chashivas of one person. One person. Now, very often in life we don't think about the one person. Here Rabbi Zalman also was willing to risk his life and his Sefer to make sure one person not be slighted by something that perhaps he would deem a mean or accidental mistake. This is in a Sefer that is called, it's written from a guy in Cleveland. What's the name of the Sefer? I forgot. It's like 50 volumes, fantastic Sefer. He writes, it's actually Divrei Torah in the Parsha, but he always throws in stories. So I forgot the name of it. I have it at home. Great story. Okay. In any case, so back to what we're holding over here. So we're holding over here in the middle of a Shverim Machloikis Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi seems to have a comment that when you have a mitzvah derabanan, there's no din called Ptur Zman Groma. And Tosfos argues. Rashi and Tosfos and Brachas, Rashi seems to hold that when you have a mitzvah derabanan like Tefillah, we don't apply the rules of exemption of Zman Groma. While Tosfos argues, and Tosfos brings a raya from Halal on Yom Tov. Tosfos says, you see from Halal on Yom Tov that the Isha can't be mitzvah the man, that's because women are pater on Halal. Why women pater on Halal? Halal is only mitzvah derabanan. Says Tosfos, you see that on a mitzvah derabanan, we still apply the rules of a mitzvah seisha as Zman Groma. So we're trying to work it through a little bit, the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So on last week's shiur, we left off with two big kashas on Rashi. One kasha was from Rabbi Yehuda Sir Leon, one of the Baliyat Tosfos, was that if Rashi is right, that every mitzvah derabanan, we don't apply the exemption of Zman Groma, so why did the Gemara have to say, Afein hoyu ba'isanes? We have a Gemara in a couple places in Shas, when the Gemara tries to figure out why are women chayv in Neiris Chanukah, why are women chayv in Megillah, why are women chayv in Dal Kaisis, so the Gemara comes up with this new idea called Afein hoyu ba'isanes. They were also included in the miracle. Frek, Rabbi Yehuda Sir Leon, who needs that? Women are chayv in all these mitzvahs because they're all mitzvahs derabanan. And when it came to mitzvahs derabanan, Rashi told us women are not exempt. That's a very strong kasha that's found already in the Rishayim. Kasha number two is a marsha. The marsha asks in brachas, if you remember the way the Gemara reads, the Gemara says, why are women chayv in davening? Because they're rachamim ninu. Because since davening is mercy, and you want to get mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why women are chayv. In fact, the marsha, that's not the reason why women are chayv in davening. Women are chayv in davening because they're just like men. And if a mitzvah saseh derabanan does not have the exemption, so if there's no exemption, then they're just like men. Why does the Gemara need to give me a reason? It sounds like from the Gemara that the Gemara is giving me a reason to why women are chayv. I don't need a reason. They're chayv because they're just like men. Because it's a mitzvah derabanan. According to Rashi, mitzvah derabanan, there's no difference between men and ladies.
What was the Gemara's reason?
The Gemara says, derachamim ninu. Davening is rachamim. So Mashal's kasha was, why do we need that? Women should be potter, because thank you, women should be potter, women should be chayv, because they're like goram meish. So if we mentioned last week that the Meiri Taka has such a girsa like that, the Meiri has a girsa like that, that the Gemara leaves out the words rachamim. The Gemara doesn't have those words. But the way we have it, and I pointed out last week, Rashi does have those words. Rashi does insert Rachamim Ninu into the Gemara. So Frank the Marsha, why does he need it? So Marsha gives a teretz which we really don't understand. The Marsha says, because if not for Rachamim, the Chazal wouldn't have obligated women. So the Kashi is, why? You just told us that men and women are equal. So if men and women are equal, so what do you mean? I would have not obligated women. Why would I have not obligated women? They're the same as men.
So what's wrong with the Gemara? The Rabbana is just giving ideas. Why do we do things?
So we suggested maybe last week. Maybe the Rachamim then was more a general term.
But the men, in other words, why do we doubt it?
We have a possible love, the Ule of the Bechol of Avchem, Zuav Avayim, Zuav Yidish Belev,
Shei Tfilah. And so we don't need the Svar that it's because of Rachman or something like that.
Yeah, right, there is no Svar given. Meaning, it sounds like this is a special reason to why women are Chayv. Well, I don't need a special reason.
Does it make a difference if it's Avos or Karbanos?
The Mishnah is talking about general Tfilah. It's not clear what part of Davening we're talking about. Let's assume we're talking about the Shema Nesra, right?
If it's Avos, then women should be obligated. If it's Karbanos, then...
So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that. That's a big shayla, famous Reb Kiveger. Are women chayiv in musaf? There's a whole shayla Reb Kiveger talks about this. Are women chayiv in musaf?
That
what?
That women are obligated in all
rabbanah. We assume not like Rashi. No, we assume that women are part of mitzvahs. Again, there's not so many. We got to try to be creative. How many mitzvahs are say the rabbanahs that we have that we don't have afim by sanes to? Very, very few. So you got to really count on our fingers. How many there are, but there is a famous Reb Kiveger in First Tshuva in Reb Kiveger where he writes women are potter from the mitzvah what he calls Oynig Yomtiv. Kiveger holds women are potter from Oynig Yomtiv because of mitzvah Sei Shaz Magrama. Now that's clearly a mitzvah Sei Rabbanan, and Reb Kiveger writes the potter because it's a time sensitive mitzvah.
Oynig Yomtiv is the mitzvah Sei
Rabbanan? Yeah, sure. The Rambam writes that covered Oynig is all the Rabbanan. So the Rambam writes in Perek Lamed. But it's hard to find the Rabbanans that are not Afim by Sanes. Because most of the Rabbanans, we have Afim by Senes. So let's see a Mahalach over here from Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotskin, the Gevuras Yitzchak. Yitzchak Sirotskin is Rosh Hashiva today in Lakewood. He's from the famous Sirotskin dynasty. His father was... His father was a Baruch Sirotskin. His grandfather was a Zalman Sirotskin. He comes from the long Telz... legacy. His father was a Rosh Hashiva in Telz. So apparently there was some politics, like there always is in Telz recently, and that's why Yitzchak Sirotskin left and moved to Lakewood. Now, I can't say that's a bad move, because if I had to pick a frum community between Cleveland and Lakewood, I would think Lakewood's a little bigger than Cleveland's frum community. So Yitzchak Sirotskin has yeshiva today in Lakewood. He's on the Mayetzas. He's a big...
he writes son.
That's right. We just mentioned that. Well, who's his grandfather?
Reb Lazer Sirotskin. Let's go up.
Zalman Sirotskin. Zalman Sirotskin.
No, that was
hard. Let me buy it. Son. He's an Aiden by Blazer Gordon. Okay, and then we can go through the Telz dynasty a different time. But so he's
not working.
I took the wrong computer by mistake, so you have to apologize.
Okay, because I got four people that are yelling in the room.
I apologize. I took the wrong computer.
That's all. Busy texting us.
I apologize. Okay, but in any case, so he's a big writer, Yitzchak Sirotskin. He writes a lot. His sefer is called Gevuras Yitzchak. He has on Chumash, he has on Mayadim, he has on Gemara. He's a big writer. So let's go through a shtickle that he has over here. We gotta go through it slowly because there's some interesting points that we have to ponder a little bit. So let's go number 9. Zogim Yitzchak Sirotskin, page 2. It should say page 2. He writes, yeah. No, we did all this really last week. I jumped around from last week. We didn't shortchange you any Mayim Kremis, don't worry. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotskin number 9. Vanirga Bebir Devi Rashi. He thinks the explanation of Rashi is going to be, Rashi's got two bomb kashas on him. First of all, what do you do with Yitzchak Salayon's kasha about Afim Bayis Anes? And what do you do with the Marshah? Why do I need a reason to obligate women? Zog Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotskin. Vanirga Bebir Devi Rashi. Dine Aval Gav Sheisha Ptura Mitzvah Shaz Mangrama. Avada, we agree that women are putter from time-sensitive mitzvahs, but einay mufkas legamri mehamitzvah. I mean, there's two types of exemptions. There's something that we exempt you and don't obligate you, and there's something we exempt you and we completely remove you from the mitzvah. Let's say, for example, a goy. A goy has no shaychus to mitzvahs. He's so removed from the parasha. If a goy does a mitzvah, he gets zero credit. It's a useless act. However, women are not like that. Well, a lady does a mitzvah, say she has mangrama, we didn't say she did a useless act. We said she didn't act like she wasn't obligated to do, but she still did a maisa mitzvah. It's still a mitzvah, just for her it's not obligatory, but it's still a kiyum of something, and therefore she gets credit. She'im oso eina mekayemes mitzvah, ki'im she'im oso mekayemes mitzvah miteiras rishus latziv v'chacham. This is really not his chiddush. This is really a gemara. The gemara says later on that God the mitzvah v'ayse yosim mishayin the mitzvah v'ayse. You get more reward when you're commanded when you're not versus when you're not commanded. But you still get reward when you're not commanded. That's before she gemara later on in our perek. That when a lady does a mitzvah, say she has margam, she gets credit, just not as much as a man.
Do you get credit also doing a mitzvah?
Yeah. Other credit. No, the pashtus is you get credit for doing a mitzvah. Now, the funny, because the word mitzvah means commanded, right? So the argument is you're not commanded. Right. So the answer is, and this is what he's going to get into in a second, that there's still such a concept called that this act is still a kiyum of Ratzon Hashem. Mm-hmm. He is obligated and you are choosing to do it. So he writes like this. Rashi says when it comes to,
is it being recorded?
I hope so, yeah. So Dr. Rashi, when it comes to a maisim, you can double record if you want to make sure. Rashi holds like this. When you come to a mitzvah, say shazan groma, let's say something in the Torah. A mitzvah derais in the Torah. Let's say lulav. Right? Lulav is a mitzvah, say shazan groma. We could pick shofar because it's coming up first, but okay, whatever works. Right, either one of those two. So lulav is a mitzvah shazam gomer. So now when a lady shakes a lulav on Sukkot morning, which all the women do, right? What did she just do? So most of us would say she did something she didn't have to do. But she did a mitzvah. She did something.
And it's not a bracha levatol.
At least for Ashkenazim. For Svaradim don't make a bracha. Right? We'll get to that blinad more next. On the next page, we'll talk about which types of mitzvahs. But yeah, Ashkenazim, Paskim, we do make a bracha, while Svaradim don't. So says a big chiddush. He says a lady can't do a mitzvah derabbanan if she's not obligated. Again, a mitzvah deraisa, the maisa itself has kedusha. This act of shaking a lulav is a choshev act that is deemed a maisa mitzvah. So you can do it als obligatory, and you could do it als rishos. But when it comes to a mitzvah d'rabbanan, there's no chashivas to the mitzvah. A mitzvah d'rabbanan is merely an expression of listening to the rabbis. So what are you telling me? That a lady lights Neiros Chanukah, she gets schar for what? There's nothing intrinsic special about lighting Neiros Chanukah.
And that's the mitzvah, to listen to the rabbis, and that's not totally
bizarre. We're going to come to a pshat like that later today, actually. One of the mahal, we're going to say that pshat later today. That the whole general idea of why Rashi holds what he does, because there's no such thing as any mitzvah. There's no ma'aseh mitzvah in any d'rabbanan. In a deraisa, there's the ma'aseh mitzvah given to us from HaKadosh Baruch. Every derabbanan is merely just listening to the rabbis do this.
Which is in and of itself a mitzvah.
Exactly, we're going to talk about that. That's going to be one way to learn Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Very good. Yeah. That's going to be source 11. Exactly, meaning every mitzvah derabbanan is not a mitzvah l'chshel atzmoy. When the rabbanan said light Neiros Chanukah, it's not the Neiros Chanukah lighting is the mitzvah. It's listening to the rabbis to whatever they told you. For the same price, if the rabbis would have said, run up and down the stairs 12 times. That'd be the same thing.
He says that it could have been anything. He doesn't try to find all the Kabbalistic sense behind it. He says if this animal did it this way.
Right.
He says, Hashem said it this way. He could have said it do that.
Right, but now that Hashem says do X, so X intrinsically becomes a davar choshev.
And if Chum say it, it doesn't become intrinsic.
No, because you don't have to do anything to Chum say except for the fact you have to listen to them. I mean, it's the same gavra chetzo issue with the rabbis. The rabbis don't have the ability to change something and make it holy. They just have the power to tell you, you do whatever I say. We'll come back to it. We're getting ahead of ourselves. It's source number 11, the 11 that you can actually read. The other 11 from the Shalom Eishev, I don't expect anyone to read because it's not fair to your eyesight and... It's just not fair, but it is a nice read if you have a chance to read it on your own with a I was learning with my chavrusha. He had his magnifying glass going. He enlarged it on his computer, and he still couldn't read it. So good luck, and good luck if you can try reading it. But it's a nice piece. We'll talk some of the nekudas. But back to Yitzchak Sirotzkin. Zog Yitzchak Sirotzkin, a yisoid that a mitzvah derabbanan does not carry the same chashivas in the pu'ula that a mitzvah deraisa has. A mitzvah deraisa, the action becomes an elevated action. So you can do that action as obligatory, and you can do it as rishos. But you don't have that by mitzvah d'rabban. By mitzvah d'rabban, it's you listen to what the rabbis say. So if the rabbis say light Neiros Chanukah, you have to light Neiros Chanukah. So what happened? The rabbi said you don't have to light Neiros Chanukah. So what am I doing? What am I doing when I light Neiros Chanukah? When an isha does a d'rabban, what exactly is she doing? She's doing a ma'aseh mitzvah. There's no such thing called a ma'aseh mitzvah. The rabbanon don't have a power to make anything into a ma'aseh mitzvah. The rabbanon have a power to say listen to what I tell you. So if you didn't obligate her, so then she's not in the parsha.
That's
what we have Afin by
Seneis. If she does it, she's not listening to Rabbanan.
Exactly, right. She's zero.
So why didn't Rabbanan just make them chayiv without Afin?
What's that? We'll get to that right now.
So Rabbanan said that women are putter from their mitzvahs that are Zman Grama.
Right. Meaning, Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotzkin can say like this. In the world of Zman Grama, so you have Derais and Rabban. On a mitzvah Deraisa level, we can exempt women, but still allow them to do it.
And the Rabbanan did that.
The Torah did that. The Torah did that for a mitzvah cessation. The Torah said a lulav women don't have to, but they may.
Well, where does the Torah say that?
That's what the Gemara says. When the Gemara says that they get schar, like it ain't a mitzvah voice.
That's the Rabbanan said that. In other words, the Torah doesn't say that.
The Rabbanan understanding the Torah.
They're interpreting
what the Torah means. Okay. But let's go a different level. Let's say you have a mitzvah, the Rabbanan. Let's say, for example, let's say Chanukah didn't have afayim boisanis. Let's say it didn't have. Put that. Right, so when a lady wants to know what should she do with Neiros Chanukah? So it says Rabbi Yitzchak, you can't tell the lady, well, you don't have to light the menorah, but you could light the menorah. He says it doesn't make any sense. Because lighting the menorah is not a maisa unto itself. Lighting the menorah is merely listening to the rabbis. So if the rabbi said to do it, then you do it. If the rabbi said you don't have to do it, then you don't have to do it. Lighting the menorah gets you zero credit.
So why is that different than a man?
Because a man is obligated.
Because the rabbanan said to do it.
Right. But why is
the mitzvah of lighting candles on Hanukkah different for a man than it is for a woman?
Because men were obligated, women were exempt. It's time sensitive.
Men were obligated because they were obligated to do what the rabbanan said. If the essence of the mitzvah.
But when the rabbi sat down to make up mitzvahs to rabbanan, they took into consideration mangrum. And therefore they said, women, you guys are exempt. So when a lady goes up to her menorah on Hanukkah, what is she doing? She's doing zeros. Exactly. Right. So
the
verse says, "Yibitzuk Suratskin Amori Tegechedes." This is the.
Okay,
she wasn't mitzvah. She can't say she's. Yeah. Okay. But again, she's not doing it sivoy the mitzvah of Hanukkah.
Can we get to the Amori Tegechedes?
Yeah. Okay. So says Yibitzuk Suratskin.
Let's go. We want to get there already. Ulechein
Svile. Tough crowd today. Okay. Ulechein Svile LeRashi. Ulechein Svile LeRashi. Well, the chayt zvila the Rashi. Zok Rashi, the dafka b'mitzvah de'raisa aminim shenoshim p'tores mitzvah she'az mangrama. That's why it comes up in the following chiddush. The Torah could have only exempted women from a mitzvah she'az mangrama because they knew they could still do it. If the Torah would have been structured in a way that a lady can't do a time-sensitive mitzvah, the Torah wouldn't have exempted them. This is wild stuff over here. He's saying the reason why the Torah exempted them from time-sensitive mitzvahs is because the Torah knew in the back of its head they still can do it if they want.
The Torah.
It's Hashem talking, right? God's words, right? Since Hashem knew that when it comes to a mitzvah saseh midaraisa, you could still do it even if you're not obligated. So when they exempted women, they basically said this, women, you don't have to, but you still may. Men, you have to. That's all when you're on a mitzvah deraisa. Because by mitzvah deraisa, it makes sense to do that you're not obligated. So far, so good. But when it comes to a mitzvah derabbanon, if the Rabbanah would have exempted women from time-sensitive mitzvahs, they wouldn't even be allowed to do them. There's no musig of doing a zman grama that you're exempt from. So women would be totally removed and detached from these mitzvahs. That the rabbis didn't want to do. They didn't think it was right, whatever, to exempt a lady to the point that she can't even do it if she wants.
Because of Afein
Hoyu? Before Afein Hoyu. When the Rabbanim sat down to decide Mrs. Rabbanim, they said to themselves, if we exempt women from time-sensitive mitzvahs, we're going to back ourselves into the wall. What's the wall? They will now not be able, not only won't they be obligated, they won't even be allowed to. And that we don't want to do.
So therefore,
that's why they didn't exempt them. That's what he's trying to explain. He's trying to explain Rashi. Why does Rashi think there's no exemption for women on mitzvahs derabbanan? So his answer is because he understands zman grama means you have to still be in the parasha. And if I exempt them by a derabbanan, they'll be completely removed from the parasha. So therefore the rabbanan decided not to exempt them.
Because if they did it, then they would not be following the rabbanan and be over that line.
No. Yeah, that's I think that's overwhelming. I think the point is that if the rabbanan would potter them, then they wouldn't be able to light the nears. Because there's no kiyum of a derabbanan unless you're obligated. What's a derabbanan mean?
No. But they won't be fulfilling any obligation.
Exactly. Because what's a derabbanan? A derabbanan is merely listen to the rabbis.
They would not be listening.
And if you weren't obligated, then you're not listening.
Then consequently, true than what I said, that it'd also be over the law.
Possibly, but again, it wouldn't be over the law if they were never put into the situation in the first place.
Well, that's back to
the right. I think you're saying it a much lomdish way. Yitzchak Suratskin, I think he's saying it lomdish, but not that level. He's saying, again, there's a lot to argue on him. A lot of nekudas you can argue. But his assumption is that when you talk about Zman Grom, it has to be that they still could do it. I don't know why he's so stuck on this notion. Why can't Zman Grom mean the Torah exempt him and the Torah didn't even want them doing it? I understand. He has the Gemara in Kedushin. But I would have thought the other way. And I mentioned this in the first year we had. If you hold like Davud Yeraham, I think women should not do mitzvah seisha as mangramas. And we have a world today where the women run around to do mitzvah seisha as mangramas and they make their husbands crazy. It's against the Ratzon HaTorah, according to Davud Yeraham. According to Davud Yeraham, the Torah wanted women to be free, to be able to be there for the family, for the husbands, whatever. And what do the women do? They make themselves crazy, so they're not available for the family. So I would argue that not only are women not obligated in Zman Groma, they shouldn't even be allowed to. Not like he's saying. He's saying that it had to have been open to women to be able to do it. Why? Why did the Torah need to leave that open?
First of all, not every woman is in the child-rearing age.
Good, fine. So that's a loy plug. We spoke about that already. They'll have to say a loy plug somewhere. But I'm just saying in alumnus, I don't know why Rabbi Yitzchak Sarotsky is stuck on this notion that Zman Groma has to give the option for women to be able to do it. Why? Why can't Zman Groma mean Kipshutai? Women are exempt. They're removed. They're not connected to the mitzvah. And that's it. I don't. I'm not sure why he has this notion that they can't.
Because a lot of Haredim, women don't do those things
right, I would think that that's what you're supposed to do. That was why they exempted them in the first place. All these women will run around, make themselves crazy to hear Shafer, and they make themselves crazy.
That
defeats the purpose.
Almost makes it sound like it's an avera for them to do it. And I think that would be a very difficult thing to say.
There's a Rashi like that. Famous Rashi. We talked about this last week, right? Rashi in Rosh Hashanah learns like that. Rashi learns that if a lady does a mitzvah, say she has a man grama, she violates Baal Tosef. So maybe one day we'll talk about it. Very shver Rashi, right? So the Masha over there in the back, we talked about this once before. The Masha talks about this Rashi. What's Rashi talking about? Baal Tosef. That's not Baal Tosef.
That's so contradictory to this Rashi.
Exactly.
This Rashi is saying that deliberately the Torah wants to keep them in the parish.
Right. But why would they? Rashi to remember. Daf Lama Dalar. It's because I Rashi to remember. Yeah.
Why would that, Mr. Stewart? Hope you don't mind. But why were they worried about it?
Now that that's the Chiddush out, go ahead.
Why were they worried about it if Akash Baruch wasn't worried about it? What are they worried about it?
No, they were saying, Rabbi Yitzchak Sarotsky's point was that if it's a...
Don't exclude them.
Right, so the
Torah... By saying you're not obligated...
Right, but the Torah never excluded women. Because they still give... My kasha. My kasha is, if you go with the reasons that we learned earlier to why the Torah exempt them, it shouldn't just be an exemption. It should also be a complete disclusion of them.
Not what happened.
Which is at least not the way he's saying it.
No, in other words, when Akash Baruch Hu exempted them, he still left them in the parsha to be able to do it. So why couldn't the Rabbanan do the same thing? Why was their concern that they would be out of the parsha entirely?
Because by the Rabbanan, it's not possible to do an optional the Rabbanan. That's his problem. Yitzchak Sarotsky's problem is when you're talking to the Rabbanan world, you can't say optional. Because what does the Rabbanan mean? The Rabbanan means listen to what we tell you. What did they tell the lady? You don't have to light Minerva. So she goes and lights Minerva. What credit does she get? That's his Chiddush. Okay? So again, so Chiddush number one for Yitzchak Sarotskin is that...
This when he was intelligent and light. I don't think he would have said that.
Definitely not. But Lakewood's a high school, so I don't know if he said it so long.
I don't know. Probably not. I don't know how many years he's already in Lakewood. But again, to me it's a troubling Chiddush because, again, I have a trouble with the premise. His premise is that the way Zman Gromas have to work is they have to still have women have an option to do them. And therefore, by the Rabboni, we don't have that option, that the Rabboni was stuck. So they said, you know what, we just have to include them. We have to include them. That's his Pshat and Rashi.
They didn't want to keep them so
because they couldn't have been Mufka, and they couldn't have done Rishos, so we're stuck.
But it's also totally on whether or not the exemption is part of the essence
of the mitzvah.
DNA of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the mitzvah, and then there's a separate exemption.
Right, so his point is that when you talk about mitzvahs d'rabbanan, the way the mitzvahs d'rabbanan work is they're all just, again, there's no chashivas to the actual act. When you talk about lighting a neiros Chanukah, there's nothing special about lighting that menorah versus lighting, you know, any other candle. Mm-hmm. When you talk about shaking a lulav, that's an independent chashiva thing given to by, right. Hashem made this lulav and esrog special. Hashem didn't make your menorah special. The menorah is merely an example of listening to the rabbis. And for the same price that they would have told you to paint your house, you'd also have to paint your house on Hanukkah. That's his premise, which does make sense to us a little bit because the rabbis don't have. We'll see in a second that that's goof for the Machlokes Rashi. He says, hold on, but we'll come back to that. Because that's Chiddush number one if we can accept it. Now let's go further. Now this is where it gets really levitic. 9b. Says Yitzchak Sarotskin, Avo b'mitzvah d'rabbanon shaloi choshev ma'ase mitzvah. But when you have a mitzvah d'rabbanon where it doesn't become an actual choshev act, you can't say that women are allowed to and men have to, because it doesn't make any sense. Allowed to do what? They're allowed to do an act that has no real chashivas to it. Therefore, says Yitzchak Sarotskin, since the rabbis couldn't have structured Zman Gromba by the Rabbanon the way they would have liked to by the Raisa, they just scratched the whole plan. That's what he's saying. He's saying that exempting women from mitzvah Zman Groma needs to have two parts to it. It has to have the parts that women are not obligated but still can. You don't have that by the Rabbanon. And therefore, since they don't have that by the Rabbanon, they just said, you know what, we'll just make them chayv.
Why can you just not can? They could can.
No, that's his point. His point is there's no. He's saying there's no way to structure it to exempt them. Because
no,
what?
Why?
What? How would it look? How would it look? You tell women that you're not obligated to light Neris Chanukah, but you could light Neris Chanukah.
Yeah,
but, he's saying that it doesn't mean anything. Those are just words. Because in Lumdis, telling a lady that she could do a Dirabbanan is basically not telling her anything of substance. Because doing a Dirabbanan is only to follow what they said.
So he's just elaborating, really.
Yeah, he's buffering his point. Yeah. Obviously, you can argue on a lot of... Okay. Now, so how does this go a step further? So he writes this next, number 10. Omnom. This is where it gets really lebedic. Okay.
Does this jive with the Tikkun Rav Anan Kain Deraisa?
It doesn't.
That's a big problem. All
right, no, that was one of our guys.
The way they structure.
Right, he'll tell you over here, he'll tell you that they were stuck to Chazal. They would have loved to have structured it like the Torah, but if they were to have structured it like the Torah, they'd be up against the wall because then women would be mufka from the mitzvah and they can't be.
That was
what we saw last time, right. So his point, meaning, what Yitzchak Sorotzky's Nekuda is that when they would have loved to have made the Rabbanans like Deraisa, but they can't because logistically you can't work it out because the nature of a Deraisa is so different than a Derabbanan. That's his Nekuda.
That's why they have
So that's what we got to get to now. Now we got to get to the last kasha. The last kasha is, so why do we need Afen Boisanes? This is how breakoffs start, if anyone was curious. Okay, so talk to Yitzchak Sorotzky like this. Omnam. Even though it's not possible for a woman to keep a derabbanan as a rishus, like we said earlier, it's either you're in or you're out. The Torah exempted women from positive mitzvahs, from doing it. He says, even Rashi agrees. That similar to what Chaim was getting at. Lamaisa, the Torah exempts women from mitzvah as Eishman Grom. The Torah does. So the Rabbanan have to do something in that ballpark. They have to be somewhere in that league of excluding them from the mitzvah. But, he says, Lo yohi Rabbanan misakdim shenoshim ischayivu b'mitzvah d'Rabbanan, v'ayu mufkas l'gami b'mitzvah d'Rabbanan, they'd be completely removed. Im lo yishayich tam yuchad l'chayivon. Unless you can dig up a pressing reason to taka obligate them. Meaning, according to Yitzchak Sorotzky, women, when it comes to mitzvah Eishes Magrom, you know where they're left? They're left totally out in the dark. They're completely removed from the mitzvah. But if you can come up with a reason to bring them back, you can come up with some cheshvan of why they should be connected to the mitzvah, then we'll reconnect them to the mitzvah.
Only the Rabbanan.
Only the Rabbanan. So he writes like this. That's why the Gemara needed the reason for rachamim. Because again, a mitzvah shez magroma, what should have been is that women are completely removed, completely disconnected, have no shaychus to the mitzvah, not allowed to do it, not can do it, zero. So then racham and nidu brings women back into it, that they still have a shaychus to the mitzvah. Ukefi hanira svile l'rashi, the mitzvah d'rabbanon, ha yeshaych l'ikar adin, the mitzvah shez magroma, shal anoshim choyv l'anoshim shos, umitayres rishos ha yuchayim es ha-mitzvah, lo ha yirabon mitaktim shirashim chayov l'spal afgav rachmin inu. If there'd be such mitzvah, says Yitzchak Sorotzkin, that I can obligate men and make women optional, then we wouldn't need rachmin. But because that's not a viable option, it's either in or out, that's why the Gemara had to dig up reasons called rachmin. Because if I don't come up to rachmin, where do I leave a lady? Totally out. She's removed. She's not in the parish at all. Says that's pshat in the Gemara. There are Gemara saying that there's really women, when it comes to a time-sensitive mitzvah, they should be totally not allowed to daven. Not only are they not obligated, they shouldn't be allowed to daven. Says the Gemara, racham and ninu is a compelling reason why we say, no, let them daven. Give them the option.
What do you mean when it comes to a time-sensitive mitzvah?
Yeah.
Because of all mitzvahs, Rabbanah.
That's time-sensitive.
That's...
I mean, anything that's not time-sensitive, they're obligated even from the Torah level.
Right. For sure they'd be obligated.
Because of Los Sasser.
No. You're right. David, you're right. Okay, you're right. I think you're right. Okay. Meaning, anytime your question is on a mitzvah derabbanan, what's a woman's role? So if it would be those mitzvahs that we normally would have exempted them, but if we would exempt them, it means they wouldn't be allowed to do it either. So says Rabbi Sisrasim, then we need another reason to bring them closer.
To give them
at least the ability to do it.
It only applies to Zman Groma.
Correct.
So they are
chayiv d'rabbanan. So here's the shiloh. So what does racham and ninu? Does that make them obligated, or does that give them just the ability to do it? It's not clear. It's not clear. Does Rachem Ninu make them now that they're back to being mechoyev? It just means, like, you know what, now we let you do it. But it's still, you're not mechoyev.
Rachem Ninu is just for davening.
That's for davening.
No, but
what about Afim Bais HaNes? Oh, so let's see the next piece.
Go one step above.
Right, so I would assume you only go one more step up, which means now they, at least they could.
Right.
Not that they're mechuyev. But let's see the next piece. Now everything is geshmak. Let's go back to Halal for a second. What was Taisus' kasha? Taisus had a kasha from Halal. You see that women are potter from Halal on Yom Tif, and Halal is a time-sensitive mitzvah midrabbanon. So you see that there is such a p'tur for Halal, for mitzvah to say she has magram midrabbanon, for women also. The avagav the mitzvah derabon on leishayich to mitzvah shemang grama mikomok and kivin the bahalal loishayich taimi derachem emninu. So the mitzvah is to Russ and Gevaldik. Halal, there's no reason to include them. Again, davening the pshat is we have a reason to bring them back. Afim bois and ace is a reason to bring them back. Halal, there's no compelling argument why women should say halal. And memela, therefore, where did that leave us? They talk, don't say halal.
But now you're in Tosfos.
No, Rashi has to answer for Tosfos, right? Rashi has to answer the Mishnah. The Mishnah says women are potter from Halal. So the answer is Rashi agrees women are potter. Rashi's not disagreeing.
Why, the same reason why we say Halal, why did Nashon not part of that? Right. They have Gibbo Dao for a Nasa?
No, but it's not Rashi.
But it's still time sensitive. It's still time sensitive, and therefore you have to have some
reason.
Okay, so Rashi will tell you that there's not enough of a reason. I mean, we could disagree on that, right? Rashi will tell you, I don't see enough of a reason to bring them back in. You could say, well, I do see enough of a reason. So Zakti Bisik Surasmul, if Yamavola, that's Rashi. Lo you Nashim Rashois, Lavaracha Halal. Comes out of a big Chiddush, guys. According to this Rashi, not only are women not chayv and halal yomtiv, they're not even allowed to say halal on yomtiv. Because what's the basic suratzkim shana Rashi? That when you have a mitzvah say shazman groma derabbanon, not only are they not allowed, not only they're not obligated, they're not even allowed to do it.
Unless there's a compelling
reason. And according to him, Rashi has no compelling reason for halal. Kum pechayis, it comes out according to him, if a lady wants to say halal on yomtiv, all our wives do, they're not allowed to. Don't tell your wife that, but okay. That's what he writes. Comes out like that according to Rashi. But she's got a whole shayla about brachas. According to him, it would be a bracha latola. According to him, if a lady says halal yom, she's making a bracha incorrectly. Because not only is she not obligated, you can't tell me vitzivono means whatever it means by a regular mitzvah she has grammar, because here she's mufka from the parsha of halal.
And that's what this fire about by women, for example, for a
little that's what they hold by regular man grammar, right?
Say it's usher to
right?
Make the
correct, correct. Right?
Is it usher to do the mitzvah?
No, we don't assume like the other Rashi in Rosh Hashanah that it's lois usher, but they don't make a bracha for that reason. But he's saying when it comes to halal, well, if yam bevola das Rashi, lo yu noshim rashoyis levarach ahal drabonon. Kivan shemufkas legarmi mehalo ve'ena mekayem shum mitzvah. Comes out according to Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotsky's Chana Rashi. There's zero kiyum because in every mitzvah says has man grama drabon and loit Rashi. Unless you can bring them in, they are completely removed to the extent.
Even though it's part of the tefillah.
Correct, correct. It's zeros. According to him, it's nothing. They have no permission to say it. They're getting zero credit, nothing.
Well, tefillah
means shmonesrei. Yeah, it could feel shmonesrei.
You could say halal every day of the week.
You'll be mechayev from God, like the Gemara says.
Without bracha. I mean, it's time you feel like you want to praise Hashem or something.
That's it's a shayla if you say b'derech tehillim, right? But if she's saying it, but teres halal, she thinks she's mekayev the mitzvah of halal on yomtiv, she's not. So this is a murid gechiddush, what he's saying over here. He's coming out with the following idea. According to Rashi, when you have a mitzvah, say shazman grama midrabbanan, our hands were tied. We couldn't give them the obligation, and we couldn't give them the permission, so we just left it totally removed, unless you have some compelling reason to schlep them back. So now we answer the second kash. Now we understand why do we need Afim Bais HaNes. Why do we need Afim Bais HaNes? Because on a regular Drabbana, they would be completely left in the dark. So he writes, that's the next shtickle. After having mitzvahs the rabbanu, mitzvah rabbanu like a pter, the mitzvah shemang grama. Yes, mikol mokam milav hanachtaim elohi rabbanu mitachten shenoshim ischayvu. So here it's interesting. Afim by sinais is not just enough to allow them to do it; it actually goes a step further and obligates them to do it.
So you're unclear whether Rachman does that.
Right.
You're clear.
Here he said, well, we know that. We know the Gemara says noshim chayeves. Well, the truth is, it said noshim chayeves but tefillah also. So clearly, it means obligation. So it means here the Torah, the rabbanu come way back the other way and obligate them.
I just have a fundamental question on Zman Grama. If for Daraisa, right, the premise is that lulav was obligatory on men and women. However, because of the time realities of women's lives, of course, Baruch Hu in his wisdom said, I'm going to exempt them.
Correct.
Right? Not that they're not obligated, but I'm going to exempt them. Because otherwise, that's not the same. When you kept saying it's not obligatory, it is obligatory except you have an exemption for it. That's different than never being obligated in the first place. Right. So, but so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his judgment was saying, I really want women to do this, but I understand the reality of their lives, so I'm going to give them a break, okay? So why doesn't that same logic, why are we saying that when it comes to the derubah, so they're still in the parsha, and therefore they're allowed to do it if they wish, right? That's the...
That's his chiddush.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
His chiddush is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't intend to not obligate them, he just gave them a pass. So if they don't want to take advantage of the pass, they're allowed to do it. Right?
That's
why is that not applied?
I didn't look at it like that way. No, he's saying, you're right.
That's what he's saying. He then say that when the Rabbanon modeled their mitzvah asay structure after the Torah,
right,
they said, okay, now we're going to obligate men to do these things,
right,
and we're going to obligate women to do the same things, except for those things that are time sensitive. But for those things, it's not really an obligation for the women in the first place at all. So they're not even allowed to do it. How does he get to that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't look at it that way?
That's my point. I think you're making a big assumption, David, which I'm not sure if we all have to agree on. You're assuming that it's a shtick like a hutra d'chuyah type of hakira. Was it pshat that the Torah never was obligated them, or the Torah gave them a... It's like a shtick like a hutra d'chuyah type of hakira. I never broke it down like that. I never thought of it like that. I always thought...
The way you explained it before, the Rabbanah don't have the capacity to infuse an action with the same chashivas that the Torah does. They could not put into the Maisa of Mitzvah this idea that if you do it, it means something beyond the fact that you're just listening to me.
They do it with all the other...
No, but again, all they do is they tell you, listen to what we tell you. They tell you, do what we tell you. So when you come to the table, you have to do whatever they tell you. So they tell you, light candles, you light candles, you do whatever they tell you. But the action doesn't become elevated to a special action. We can disagree on it. Now, I want to go back to your original comments. It's interesting, Shiloh, how to look at it. Do you say that women were hutra or dechuya? I would have thought from the get-go it was hutra, not dechuya. The way you're making it like a dechuya, that really they're obligated, but they can't, so the Torah gave them a pass. I don't know.
Kosh Baruch Hu is very capable of writing in the Torah in a way that made it clear that they weren't chayav.
What does it mean? Noshim Peturis? What does Noshim Peturis mean? You're saying Peturis means that the not being obligated means...
Heter means you don't have to do it.
Is that what Peturis means, a heter, or Peturis means you're exempt? I would say Peturis means exempt. That's what I would think those words mean. So I always assumed, maybe we'll talk about
it. Exempt means you don't have to do it. They're not like a guy. A guy is not chayav to begin with. You never get an exemption, right?
Correct.
By women, you have to get to an exemption. Well, you can't be exempted unless you were first obligated in the first place.
No, but the point is, now that the women are potter, what do we do with them? Yes. You could have learned that it was a total exemption. They're totally out of the parsha. And, again, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara said they get schar. Okay.
That's true, then how they lie to do it.
No. Tosis writes himself, and we never say afein bois anes on a mitzvah d'oraisa. We don't say, that's not why they're chayav matzah. That's Tosis's kasha. Why are women not chayav in matzah because afein bois anes? Why are women not chayav in sukkah because afein bois anes? Tosis writes himself, afein bois anes only works midrabon. Doesn't work on a derisa level. Maybe. Tyson definitely says like that. There's not so many.
So what are we talking about anyway?
Right, we have very few mitzvahs, right?
We have three of them is Afeni Besonis. We have the Rafa, the two other mitzvahs.
All right, okay. So believe that on the next page, we'll see another one. Okay. Let's just see one more Mahalach. This was supposed to go a lot faster than I was hoping. Okay, let's see number 11.
Yeah. Does he hold halacha l'mais like this, and he doesn't let
his wife? Nah, I don't think we pass him like Rashi, but I'm just saying alum. This he's saying we don't pass him like Rashi.
We don't pass him.
No. He's just saying alum. This that's what comes out. Okay. Let's see one more mahalach, and then we got to move right over here. Yep. One more mahalach to be masber Rashi and Tosis, which is basically everything we've been saying for the last 2 weeks. Take a look over in the Sefer Pesach Shargan, some contemporary Eretz Yisrael. It's very nice haskamos from all the different gedolim. Okay, whether they're true or not, I have no idea, but okay, it looks good. So he writes like this: Ubeikum achloikis Rashi v'Tosis. He basically puts together everything we've been saying for like the last 2 weeks into what Pshat and Machlokes Rashi Tosis. And he writes like this: Yesh Levar Divi Rashi Yibar Heitiv Al Pimasha Erich Levar B'Shari Yosheh. Based on what Rav Shimon discusses a lot, the Gedim Mitzvahs Derabbanan She'ena Mitzvah Be'etzem Asiya. Similar to what Yitzchak Swatzkin was getting at. That when you talk about a Mitzvah Derabbanan, there's nothing special, intrinsic about that act. There's no kedusha about doing a Mitzvah Derabbanan. It's just listening to the rabbis. Elo. Sha'idei called in the rabbanon. Sha'oisem mekayim b'zeh mitzvah sheshameil adibichachomim. Again,
for men too.
This is for men too. Yeah, 100%. Again, when a man lights Neiros Chanukah for the same price, he could take a jog. If the Rabbanon would have said, you know, because you eat so much donuts on Chanukah, everyone has a mitzvah the Rabbanon every night of Chanukah to take a jog, and you get the same credit for lighting the menorah as you were for taking a jog, if that's what the Rabbanon told you to do. It's merely listening to whatever they tell you, and they can give you numerous responsibilities. Ulefize, in etzem ha mitzvah de tefillah hazman grama. So when you talk about a mitzvah to Rabbanon, you're not going to say the Rabbanon told you to daven. The Rabbanon told you to light Ner Chanukah. They didn't tell you anything. They told you, listen to whatever we say. Blanket statement. That blanket statement is not time sensitive. That blanket statement is every day of the year, every moment of the day, listen to whatever the rabbis say. It's a whole different look. It's a whole different look at a mitzvah to Rabbanon. Okay, it's not so far from what Rabbi Yitzchak Tzuraskin was getting at. When you take away the Kedushas HaMitzvah, and you make everything just under the big banner of do whatever we say. What? Correct. The Fizek comes out. There's one general mitzvah called listen to whatever we say. Okay. And there's examples. Do this, do that, do this. But all them. Good. And therefore, if you don't listen, you'll be able to sasa. But there's no mitzvah parati. His point is, there's no significance to any individual based mitzvah. Every individual mitzvah is merely an example of listen to what we tell you. So he says, in Cain, there's no zman grama. What time sensitive? You have a mitzvah to listen to the rabbis all the time. 24/7.
They only tell you
to do no. Next line. V'gam kisha amru l'kayim mitzvah tuli bizman. And even when they tell you to do a time sensitive mitzvah, hachiyuv einei mugvol bizman. The obligation to listen to them is not time. Ela daite mikayim hachoyvel l'shmei b'koylom ideasiyas mitzvah zu bizman zeh. Again, the mitzvah is not the action. The mitzvah is the listening. You have to listen to them all the time. It happens to be what they ask of you is only during this time. But the asking of you is a general obligation all the time. That's Pshat and Rashi. Exactly. So M. Cain, that's Pshat and Rashi. Why does Rashi think there's no such thing called Mitzvah Shemagram? Because if you look at every Rabbanon as not an individual Tzivoy Me Rabbanon, there's a general banner called listen to whatever we tell you. That's 24/7.
That's not connected.
Correct. So that's Pshat and Rashi. Right. Exactly. That's what he wants to say.
It comes out that's connected to Torah. Because the Torah says the women are not Mechui because we're sensitive to the fact that they can't have this man. So come along Rabbanon and say, okay, but you have to listen to us, even though it's this man.
So that kasha, exactly, so you can ask that in Rashi anyways. Why is Rashi more machmir than the Torah? But your kasha is not a general kasha. The Torah exempted women from time says the mitzvahs, and Rashi comes along and says, but not for Rabbanah mitzvahs. So the rabbis are more machmir than the Torah.
I think what Chaim's trying to say
is no.
It's
the Rabbanah, but not
the Sosor, which is the Araisa, right?
Yeah.
So every Araisa we said that has a mitzvah as a man grama does not apply.
Right.
So then both Sosor doesn't apply either. Therefore, every single time it's in the Rabbanah, there should be an inyan of mitzvahs asay, because both Sosor is a...
That's what we said last week. We said that last week, right? That was a shot from Ram Gorbitz. We said that last week, right? That was his other way of learning Rashi.
What I'm saying is a problem with it.
Why?
Because if you're saying that because it's in the Rabbanah,
right,
there's no Indian of Zman Grama, because every time you're doing something, it's not the thing you're doing, it's the Lo Sosor.
No,
is a Diaraisa.
No,
which should have Zman Grama attached.
But it's a Lav, there's no Zman Grama in a Lav.
Right.
It's a Lav. Again, according to this Mahalach, again, the chap of this Mahalach is, again, it's a whole different look at the Rabbanim. We look at the Rabbanim, we say, the rabbi sat down, they told us, we want you to light Neir Chanukah, so when I sit down and I light Neir Chanukah, I'm doing Ratzon Chazal. Yes, you are doing Ratzon Chazal, but that's just merely an example of the general want of you. So that's Rashi's pshat. What does Taisvis hold? Taisvis disagrees. So Taisvis holds... He says, "Vidasa toisvis tisbar al pidarke shel agrach huva bekonches divya soifim from Rav Chanan Vasimin dal kol mitzvah du rabbanon chal midaraisa chiyah prati." Toisvis will tell you, you know what a mitzvah du rabbanon is. A mitzvah du rabbanon is not just generally; it's whatever they tell you. That specific thing now becomes a mitzvah. They tell you like Neir Chanukah, shayna mitzvah.
Okay, but
the saucer gives them the power.
Oh, dimishum haloi saucer nase chevtzo shal mitzvah mitzad atzmoi.
So the whole idea that he was saying before that they can't infuse the action with any intrinsic holiness, that's not true according to those.
Correct. Das the machloikis Rashi Taisus. So it comes out like this. The machloikis Rashi and Taisus in our sugya and brachis has a lot to do with how you understand mitzvahs derabbanan. both Rav Avram Gorovitz's pshat and the pshat we're saying now. A lot of it has to do with what's the lumness of a mitzvah d'rabban. Is a mitzvah d'rabban a dover kedusha b'fnei atzma, or it's more of a general understanding of listening to the chacham? Okay. Outcome, Davin Gain Fighter. Okay. So the Shaul Meshin has a couple interesting nekudas. One kash he had, which I don't understand his kash. He has a kash like this. He says, I don't understand. Why should women be I'm not asking anyone to read it.
Yeah.
I don't demand anyone to read it. So the Gemara, Taka has two pshatim in brachas. We touched upon this, I think 2 weeks ago. The Gemara has Taka two pshatim. Is it lois sasser or is there also not say involved? That's, we talked about that. Yeah, we mentioned that as well. Yeah. There is such a possibility. The Gemara seems to hold that lois sasser is the compelling argument of why you are. There might be not say also. Yeah, that might be. The Shaul Meshach has an interesting kasha. He says, I don't understand the Gemara. Taisus has a kasha from Halal on Yom Tov. Taisus says, why are women potter on Halal on Yom Tov? Is a mitzvah say shazman groma. So he has a kasha. He says, I don't understand. What are women so busy with on Yom Tov that they can't listen to their husbands? And we know why women potter on mitzvah say shazman groma, because they're mishubedes l'bayla. Mishubedes l'bayla to do what? It's Yom Tov. You can't do anything.
What do you mean?
They have to take care of the kids. So it's a peladik kasha. Because he assumes that Mushabed Sabai meant like they have to, like, you know, fix his clothing and do the laundry.
Yeah, but if you ask that question, then what about women who are 60 years old?
All right. So he answers the kasha, which, again, I don't even know what Mikara Micah Sava. He says, what do you mean? They have all, the Shaul Meshach, Nathanson. He got also had a couple of wives. But okay, in any case, so he writes.
That's
his first wife was got very wealthy. But okay, in any case, so he writes, no, Avada, on Yom Tov, they still Shibudim of Bishol. The wife is busy cooking, right? She still has a mishubadim. She's mishubah to cook and to do the things that she's allowed to do. What? So again, you have to remember, guys, the thing with the kids is not found in the Rishonim. I pointed this out. It's something to think about. It's found only in Rav Moshe. In Rav Moshe's tshuva, he focuses on the children. If you look in the Avud Raham and the Kolboy, both of the Rishonim, they only talk about the husbands, shibudim to the husband. They don't say anything about the kids.
But yesterday's Raham, there's nothing about kids. Right.
Yeah, he knew.
He left us a kid.
Rav Moshe so much about the kids and the kids and the kids and the kids. But if you look at the Rishonim, the Avud Raham and the Kolboy, they don't say a word about the kids. They talk about the shibudim that the husband has, the wife has to the husband. So Mela, in fact, it's Shalom Meshach, but what shibudim? What, she's going to sew his shirt on Yom Tov? So Terry says, no, there's other shibudim. It's cooking. That's the answer. The answer is the cooking. Okay, let's go back to it. We got to move on to something else. Let's go back to Rav Gusman for a second. Number 12, back to Rav Gusman. Rav Gusman wants to go back to our old chakira. I know we got sidetracked with this a couple times, but we have an old chakira. Why are women parted from time-sensitive mitzvahs? Is it because of the Avud Raham called by Rav Moshe that their time is not there, they're mishubah to their husband, they're mishubah to their children, or it's a milsabal time? It's a fact. We don't know why. Don't try to break your head over it. The Torah exempted them. We don't need a reason, right? So we don't need, and again, Rav Gusman pointed out, and it could be every mitzvah has a different reason. They're potter for sukkah for reason A, they're potter from lulav for reason 2, and shayfa is a third reason.
And but it just so happens.
It just happens to be.
We have a quick way to remember.
Right, simon siba, like, right? It's a simon, not a siba. That was Rav Gusman's original chakir. So Rav Gusman writes to this, number 12. We're really behind. He writes this. He goes back to another machoikis Rishonim. He named Toisus lekamon laflam adal amar alaf a Toisus later on in Kedushin about four block from where we are. So we'll get there in Mitzvah Shem in a few weeks. He talks about Maka. Mevor the notion peturis me asay the shvisas yomtiv. We know yomtiv has an asay and a lois asay. Lois asay malacha. There is a positive commandment to keep the Shabbat, to keep the yomtiv. Shvisas yomtiv. Davis mangrom. So Toisus over there discusses, would a lady be potter from the positive mitzvah of keeping yomtiv? It's time sensitive. So the lav of loy sasim alocha, that's a lav women are chayiv and lavin. What about the positive commandment to keep the Shabbos, to keep the Yom Tov? So we would say that positive commandment follows the good old fashioned rule of zman groma, women should be exempt.
What do you have to do to keep the Yom Tov that's not doing a lav?
That's the nekuda. No, the positive keeping of Yom Tov is don't do something.
Right.
So now how can you tell me that because I'm not doing something, my time is not mine? What my husband going to ask me? My husband's going to ask me to do something that's going to take away from me not doing something?
They don't have the same.
No, we're not talking about those. We're talking about the asay of just shvisas yomtiv. Don't do malach. The Torah says don't do malach, and the Torah says rest. Two of the same things, one in a positive and one in a negative.
Do they have the chiyuv on Shabbos?
Right, so there we have zachah v'shamer. We know the woman.
Same hekesh for yomtiv.
We don't have the same. No, we don't.
Is that
where
we learned the lavim of
Yom Tov
to begin with?
Not by Yom Tov. It says Mufurish in the Pesukim. It says Lo Yisasa. So we have a laugh for Yom Tov. What about the essay? So it's a positive. Mm-hmm. So Tosfos writes over there, Gevaldige Chiddush. Achik Sheher Yosef Me'eretz Yisrael Al Pirushe Im Kain. He says that if you hold that women are potter from the assay of Shusha Yom Tov, Im Kain Gabi Eman Likim Shem and Sreifa Yom Tov. You're not allowed to light a candle with Shem and Sreifa Be Yom Tov. Mishum the Yom Tov assay the Lo Yisasa, because Yom Tov carries an assay and a Lo Yisasa. A Sreifa's Kachem Ein Al Assay. But Isha in a chayeves ba'asei di yomtiv, dav is man gromo. So he, again, not so negate to us all the cheshbanim over there, but the point is that Tosfos is assuming that the asei of shvisas yomtiv does not apply to women. They're potter. Because it's man gromo. So they're exempt. The ilu bechinach mitzvah reish tadi zayim before the gam noshim chayeves ba'asei di yomtiv. The chinach argues. Achok is Tosfos and the chinach. Tosfos holds that mitzvah asei of tashvisu of yomtiv, mitzvah asei of shvisas yomtiv, women are potter from, like every other's man gromo. And the chinach says no. Women are chayiv in the assay of shvisa on yomtiv. Why? Ubemen chaschinuch sham beer plukton. The chinuch sava the assay sheesh imay lav harehi chamura. The men chaschinuch explained why does the chinuch hold a chayiv in such an assay? Because whenever there's an assay that is supported by a lav, the assay gets bumped up. The assay becomes more chashuv. Right. So the assay now becomes you're strengthened. So even though normally we have a rule that women are potter from time-sensitive mitzvah, but if the time-sensitive mitzvah has attached to it a lav, now the assay all of a sudden gets more chashivus.
What is the practical import of this assay that adds anything to the los assay?
Halacha l'maisa?
Yeah. All it does is add another...
Another punishment.
Punishment.
Correct.
So over an assay in addition to
correct.
The los assay.
Correct.
So
that's
what we want to do is layer another
right.
Another chiv on the women
right.
Just to patch her a little
right.
Bit more.
For whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to enforce the idea, and he gave us a lav attached to it in assay also.
As a practical matter, it would make no difference in the woman's obligations.
Correct.
It would just give her another...
Yes. Anytime you have that. Forget women. Anytime the Torah gives you an assay and a lav, by Micah, the Torah gives you an assay to build defense and a lav if you don't build defense.
Right,
so what's the difference?
The lav is enforcing
So that's what we talked about last week. When the lav enforces the assay, if the assay falls away, does the lav fall away also? Here, Tosfos is mechadish the opposite. That when the lav exists with the assay, it gives chashivas to the assay.
Yes.
So learns the Minchas Chinuch. What does Rashi hold? No, here we're talking about a mitzvah deraisa. The mitzvah deraisa of Yom Tov. So Rashi holds it's the same thing. So you have to either have a mitzvah saseh to keep Yom Tov. You have a lav not to violate the Yom Tov. So the machlokes is, are women exempt from that aseh?
Rashi would say that man grumo we're not worried about it. You're right.
Right. Correct.
So you get a positive command the other, only a negative.
No, that's the machlokes. Tosfos holds that the aseh they're exempt from because of the rules of man grumo. The chinuch says the aseh they're obligated, and the minchas chinuch says a shtickel teiro, that pshan the chinuch is what? Is that since this aseh is attached to a lav, that strengthens the aseh and it no longer exempts the women. But what's the kasha? Says Rav Gusman, Gevaldik. What's Pshan Machloikis? So you have Machloikis, Tosfos, and the Chinuch. Tosfos holds that women are potter from the Asay of Shvisas Yomtiv. The Chinuch says women are chayiv in the Asay of Shvisas Yomtiv. What's the Nekudas of Machloikis? Says of Gusman, the Nero, there's a plea Pluktas, Tosfos, and Chinuch. It goes back to our old Chakira. How did this Machloikis go back to our old Chakira? Chinuch, Sava, the Chinuch holds Katsar Arisha, Nukavu, Dramanal. There's man Gromo, Havi Tam, Visi, Bahapot, Rason. That Zman Gromo is the reason why women are potter. The kiven de hamei afusali afina lipta rak masei ba'alma says of Gusman a knetch that the chinuch held like the Avudraham that there's a reason why the Torah parted them. The reason why the Torah parted women from positive mitzvahs is because their time is not theirs. So I would have thought.
But in those cases, it's because they had to go do something actual.
Yes, that's a different pshat. We'll come to.
But
yes, here. That's right. That's another pshat, right? But I would see. Here's where Gusman gets interesting. If I was rewriting this, I would have said, and therefore, when it comes to the assay of Yom Tov, it should be the same. It's not what he says. He says, but since the assay has attached to it a lav, it's no longer comparable to the other assays.
That's right.
He's saying like this: if you have a siba, the siba can only be applied wherever it's similar to the other places. I would have argued on this. I would have said the siba exists all the time. If there's a reason why we patted, the time is not theirs. I don't care what you throw up against it. But Rav Gusman says no. If you throw up a lav against the assay, so now you're playing with a whole different field.
Of course,
If you're playing with a different field,
logical, because the reason, this reason doesn't apply in this case.
If I like the lob, you got bigger problems.
I guess. If Grossman understands that once you throw in a lob to the equation, so now it's no longer the same playing field as it was, and now you can no longer use the reason. But says Grossman, I will toys the savri, but toys the holds. This man grama ain't a siba. Zman grama is not a reason. The poitim rak simona ba'alma. She mitzvas ke'elu she'esh lam simish as man grama nashim p'tuis. V'tama dover le'inodah. We don't know why. V'imkei menolam l'chalak bin asei kal l'chamura. Whoa. I would argue on that also. Says Rav Grossman, so why are you differentiating between what type of assays? What do you mean? Because it's a different grouping. The assays that are exempt were all those assays that don't carry lav. And assay that carries a lav, maybe it's a different grouping. Rav Grossman's saying no. He's saying, once you're telling me it's not about reason, it's about fact, then all assays are equal.
Even if they have a lot of
attached. I would have thought
not. Then you're not saying that you're free to do it.
No. He's saying that the Torah didn't apply this rule to such an assay.
So she just doesn't get scar for keeping that assay.
Correct.
That's enough convenience.
That's right. Now, one last nukud that we have to start because we've been this 2 weeks old. Let's go to a whole new discussion now. What makes something Zman Groma? How do you define Zman Groma? Does it mean that the mitzvah can only be done during a specific time, either because Hashem said so, or because for technical reasons? What do I mean by that? Take a look very quickly. We'll start this. Taisus Menachas. Taisus Menachas has a kasha. The Gemara discusses whether or not an isha does smicha on a behema, whether or not an isha does smicha, puts her hands on the animal. So Taisus has a kasha. 13, bottom right corner. Why do we didn't turn the page? That's what I want to get to, so we can at least finish this page. Why do we need a pasuk to exempt women from the mitzvah of smicha? Typically, the mitzvah says she has zman groma. Why don't we just assume that smicha is a zman groma? Why? In tekef l'smicha shchita deraisa. If you hold that tekef l'smicha shchita, what's smicha? Right around the time of the shchita, you have to do smicha. Right before you do smicha, and then you do shchita. So, fact is like this: if you can only do shchita b'yoyim, and you can't do shchita b'layla, so therefore, by definition, you can only do smicha b'yoyim, and not smicha b'layla. So Taisus is kasha like this, that why don't we say that smicha becomes a time-sensitive mitzvah, because you can only do smicha right before you do shchita, and you can only do shchita b'yoyim. Yes, she's not exempt from shchita.
What does that mean? She's bringing an animal for a carbon.
No, shchita is a time-sensitive mitzvah.
So I'm saying, is that something that a woman is exempt from through the concept of...
If you would assume that it's a mitzvah, if you assume shchita is a mitzvah...
Why is it a mitzvah?
What's shchita? That's the old shayla. Is it a matter or a mitzvah? But the point is, you can only be shaykhit balayla, and therefore you can only do smicha. And you can only do smicha b'yayim. It's a fact, Taisa is a kasha.
The shchita is b'yayim.
Or you can't do it at night. Is there a difference?
I don't think so. Again, but the point over here is, smicha is not what's locked into time. Shchita is locked into time, and smicha is locked into shchita. So Taisa is fact, a kasha. That should be enough to make it zman grama. So what do you see from Taisus? So Taisus Bavorns that. Dafilu somach lebesayf alayla take of lamar shachar tzarich lishchait. So Taisus, maybe you'll be a smart guy. Let's say alois hashachar is 5 o'clock. So 4:59 you do smicha and 5 o'clock you slice the animal. Oh, perfect. So Taisus doesn't work. Why? Because the atonement has to be the first carbon that's brought. So it's still not going to work. Technical problem. So Zok Taisus Akasha, why don't we say that smicha should be deemed a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, because you can only do smicha b'yayim, because you can only do shchita b'yayim, and you can only do smicha samach l'shchita, smicha now becomes a mitzvah sasei shazman groma.
And we know for a fact that we do not say
Taisus leaves off with Akasha, because why does the Gemara need a Torah for women from smicha? I'll pat the women from smicha because it's man groma. And Taisus leaves with his kasha. So what do we see from Taisus? Taisus defines man groma as, I don't care why, but at the end of the day, smicha is not done 24/7. It's not because of the mitzvah. Exactly. It doesn't have to be the mitzvah itself. Even if a dovet study, an outside factor, regulates the time,
it's a practical matter.
Elamaisa, it's a practical thing. It's still going to be zman grama. So that's what Blined will get to next week. How this is going to impact Sfiras Ha'omer? How is it going to impact Bikurim? How is it going to act Kiddush Levana, the Chacham Shloima? I'm not sure how much I want to get into that Chacham Shloima because it's a hard read. But a lot of mitzvahs that are going to be like this, that are something else prevents its time, whether or not that also makes it zman grama.